All right. So it says Hachitin Vahasaorin Vahakusamin Vahashibolash Vahashibolashuol Vahashifon Areel Chayam Bachal. So you have wheat and barley and spelt and oats and rye. These are the species that are chayoven in Hafrosh Aschala. Umitstarfin Zemzeh. Alright, there happens to be a lot of issues about that business of being Mitzare Zemzeh. But Plame shot that certainly as a if they're made together as a dough, that they're mitzaref to the shear of Chala. Okay? To Mimchai of Chala. Vasurin Bachodash Milifne HaPesach. And these are the species that are usher, that partake of the Isser Chodash prior, well, let's change the words. Milifnei HaOmer. Okay? These are the things that are usher, Milifnei HaOmer. Umeliktsor. And they are also prohibited in Ketzira, Milifnei HaPesach. Although the Isser Ketzira is not in any way as universal as the Isser Chodash. Because the Issa Ketzira only applies, if you look at the Rambam, only applies to those areas that it's possible to bring the actual Korban Omer from. Okay, that's a different Mishnah. That's later. It discusses that issue. All right, I don't want to digress into that area. You'll look at the next Mishnah and you'll look up the Rambam if you want, but different story. Okay, then he says like, then the Mishnah says like this. Im ishrishu kodom haomer, haomer matiran. If they took root prior to the omer permits them. Vim lav, asur nad shiyav haomer abba. But if they didn't take root prior to the omer, then those things will be asur all the way till the next Korban Omer, a year later. So you'll have to store it in a silo and leave it there. That's it. Okay? It seems pretty simple. At first glance, this mission is pretty simple. All right. All right, so let's do the Gemara now. But not the Gemara in this Mishnah. But, as a matter of fact, we will come back to a Gemara on this Mishnah, but not yet. Let's take up the basic problem. All right, boy, Rav Shimon ben Pazi. All right? So the Gemara on Samach Tes Amud Beis. Right next to the Tosfos, it says, Chit and Shiyardu. Okay? Right there, go across. Boy, Rav Shimon ben Pazi. Shiboles Shehivia Shlish Kodom La'omer. You have a stalk, and it has now produced berries. Let's deal in wheat. Okay? It's produced wheat berries that are one-third. Okay? They've grown one-third. One-third of their full maturity. Okay? Kodem la'omer, prior to the omer. Ve'okra, and then you uprooted them. Now here, and this is going to be important, Rashi learns ve'okra means kodem la'omer. All right, let's learn exclusively like Rashi now. Ve'okra kodem la'omer, v'shosla la'achara omer. And then you went ahead and you replanted it after the omer. Vihosifa. And now the pre grew because it had actually 67% more to go. So now it increased in size when you replanted it. All right? Mahu, what's the halacha? Meaning, what's the halacha vis-a-vis the Isser of Chadash? Basar ikar azlinan, Do you go after the Iker? Whatever that word might mean here in this context, but Basar Iker Azlinan. Visharya Omer. And therefore, and the Omer permitted it. Why? Because uprooted it Kodem HaOmer. You had a berry there, a wheat berry, and the Omer rendered that berry from Chadash to Yashan. Okay? O Dilma, Basar Tosefes Azlinan. Or perhaps you go after the addition. And the addition, of course, never experienced an Omer. Therefore, you have to wait till the next Omer. Okay? Ah. So the problem is, of course, there's a few problems. I mean, obviously, you want to know just, of course, what is the Gemara's Chakira? What's the Gemara's Iboya? What's Rav Shimon ben Pazi's question? That, of course, I mean, that's no doubt. I mean, you want to understand. But there is a more basic question. And the more basic question is, why does Rav Shimon ben Pazi set this case up as Shevi Ashlish? Why is it important, Shevi Ashlish? What possible ramifications does Shlish have if we know already from the Mishnah later that all you need for the Omer to be Matir is Hishrisha? Why did Rav Shimon ben Pazi just simply say, you have something, Shehishrisha, Kodem HaOmer, and then after the Omer, you did whatever. You uprooted it, whatever you did. Okay? Now, why does he have to introduce Shlish? What is Shlish? Who cares? Shlish. Just have Hishrisha, Kodem HaOmer. And then have that it grows more. Okay? I mean, that's the basic question. And it seems that that's the basic question that Rashi actually is addressing. Because what does Rashi say? Shevi Ashlish. The first, Rashi on the Sugya. L'hachinakat Shlish. For this reason, Rav Shimon Pazi stated Shlish. The Choshev Gemar Pri, because this is considered to be Gemar Pri. The Imekami Achi, Akra, because if you have uprooted it prior to Shlish, Havyash Kishachas Balma, it would be nothing more than fodder. It wouldn't be a Pri. It would be nothing. Feed. It would be animal feed. Okay? Velo Mahani Omer La Mesharye. And the Omer would not in any way be matirit. Okay? That's what Rashi says. But again, it's very nice. So Rashi has clued us into the fact that a shlish, has some meaning. Meaning, what is a shlish? Okay. It's halacha that by tzvuah, a shlish is considered a pri. All right? It's considered pri and not shachas. But what's it going to do with Shimon Pazi's question anyhow? The question that we originally asked still should remain. Namely, what do I care about? It's all good. It's a pri. Yashkayach. But all I need is for Omer to be Matir, is that it's Hishrisha. So that's all I should have. That should be the case. Why did Shimon Pazi set up the case as a, where it's a pri already? Okay? That is the second question. Meaning the first question is, what's the Yibaya? Okay, whether you go by Iker, Basar Iker Azlinan, or Basar Tosefes Azlinan, that's one thing, of course, you want to understand. The second question is, why is it a case of Shlish when Hishrisha seems to be the key element, whether or not Omer is Matir? That's the second question. And now we come to a third question. All right, we'll stack it up, you know what I mean? The third question is based on a halacha, based on a tshuva of the Rush, that the Ramah quotes, the Torah also quotes it, in Yoredei Reish Tzadi Gimel. It's a good question, and we'll... You're saying, well, I mean, it's, look, I, well, let me ask you this. I mean, I mean, I could say like this to you, Joey. Look, at this point, given that let's pretend for a moment we know nothing else. We only know Reb Shimon ben Pazi. So I'll say to you, well, what do I care if it's a Shrisha again? It's already mutter. There's, why is your case? There's, I can get, if I want, I could be a little tough on you here. I can say, what do you mean? What do I care if it's a Shrisha again? No, that wouldn't be a good case. Because it was already mutter. So now you stick it back in the ground. What do I care? Assuming, again, you don't know anything else. If you know Amud Aleph, you'll know it's not so simple. You know, but I'm just saying, in a way, you know, in a certain sense, pedagogically, the way I'm presenting it, your kasha is not a good kasha. Given that I know more, it is a good kasha. But let's hold off with it, you know what I mean?
When you're referring to Amud Aleph, you're referring to Rabbi Bar
Ah, okay, very good then. Okay, so if you know that, Ibaya, so you know. We'll come back to the Ibaya. Okay? We will come back to that Ibaya. I'll do it in the Shulchan Aruch. But as I said, it's in the Torah also. Yol Shulchan Aruch. Right, Sadi Gimel. You know, it's not bad. You can make a siyum on Hilchos Chodesh.
One siyum.
You know, but you got to do it well. You do it well, and you feel good. So the Mechaber says, Tfuah Shlo Eshrisha Kodlum, it says Zayim B'Nisan, Asura Achiyavo Omer Haba. All right, good. That's a straight out from the Mishnah on Daf Ayin. Okay. So now the Ramah says, when we call Makom, Kol Stam Tfuah Shari Lachar HaPesach. All right? And you got to know, by the way, I mean, I hate to, you know, I know sometimes guys get a little uneasy when, if a Rebbe does this, but, you know, you got to realize, of course, that in the time of the, in the Ramah, in Europe, I mean, these were really serious issues. Especially since the Ramah is somebody who holds, like many of the Rishonim, that Chadash, the Yisr Chadash even applies to Tfuas Nachrit. I mean, they're all, you know, grappling with these problems. It wasn't, you know, so simple. You know, where to get Tfuah from and all the things. I mean, their whole sustenance depended on these things.
They didn't have storage either.
Where are they going to put it? I mean, not so simple. I'm just, you know, I just want you to know this. That's why Chadash has, you know, has a tremendous amount written about it. Because they're really, you're dealing with bread, you're dealing with you know, ma'isim b'chol yom. So anyhow, so the Ramah says, "Mikol makom, kol stam tvor shari lachar haPesach, mikoach svek sveka, safek hi mishana shavra. Maybe it's from the year before. It's tvor from the year before. Omar mishana zu, mikol makom dilma nishra kodem omer." And if you'll tell me it's this year's crop, maybe it was Nishrisha, it took root prior to the Omer. Okay? And you see, he says, Tor B'Shem HaRash. Okay? So, Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes a Tshuvas Mutzal Et Me'esh with that is tremendously bewildering. So the Mutzal Me'esh says a Tama Ha Shem Ones Chadu Demali Mishana Sha'avra Umali Mishana Zu Kodem Omer. Now it's the Mutzal Me'esh, and he happens to be using the Lashon that Tosus uses when they discuss the issues of Svek Sveka and Ksubis on Daf Tes. So Tosus points out that it won't be a legitimate Svek Sveka if it's really both Svekas are identical. Okay? If they're identical. So his kash over here is that there's basically one Suffek here. Was it his Shrisha Kodem HaOmer? What do I care? Last year's Omer, 10 years ago, Who cares? There's only one question. Did this thing undergo an Omer? Was it a Shrisha Kodem the Omer? If it was, so, okay, it's Mutter. If it's not, it's Aser. If it's a Safek, that's one Safek. Safek Kodem, Safek Lacher. It'll be a Sfeika Daraisa, and you'll have a problem. So the Mutzum Ha'esh and the Rabbi Kiva Eger can't understand how could the Ramah or how could the Rush say it's a Sfek Sfeika. That's the third question. Okay? As opposed to, in case you're having a hard time thinking of a valid Sfek Sfeika, a nice Sfek Sfeika would be you have a Safek whether you counted the Omer yesterday. So you have a Safek, did you count or didn't you count? And even if you didn't count, there's another Safek, many Rishonim hold that you can miss a day. So it's a Sfek Sfeika. Okay? Not only is it independent, but of course it's reversible. It makes no difference which way you go, which of course shows is an evidence of its independent status. Whereas in the Ramaz Sfek Sfeika, first of all, it's one Sfek. Moreover, you can even show it's not reversible. Because if you go, you can only go one way. So you can only go from the way Sfek from last year, this year, and even if it's this year, maybe it was Nishrisha. But you can't go the other way. Suffolk, whether it was Nishrisha after or before, or maybe it was from last year, that doesn't work. Okay, all right.
Could you just articulate the Ramaz?
The Ramaz Sfek Sfeika is like this. Suffolk, maybe this thing in front of you, this Stam Tfuah, came from a crop the year before. Okay? And even if you say it came from this year's crop, this year's harvest, maybe it was Nishrisha Kodem HaOmer. It's one Suffolk. Yeah, all I want to know is, I have Tua right now, right? I have it in May. All I want to know is, did it exist before the Omer, before the Carbon Omer on Tes Zion of Nissan? What do I care about last year? That's the same point.
It's
not a new idea. It's not a new Suffolk. One shame. Kodem Omer or not Kodem Omer? We don't care. It's not, it doesn't help us 10 Omers. But one Omer is one Omer. That's the problem. What we wanted to say is like this. And, we said it was a basic idea. First, there's a basic idea here. And that is that the basic question, or the basic point, I should say, not question, there's a basic idea you have to have in your mind first. And that is that there are two kinds of existences here. Two different kinds of existences that Halacha recognizes in the framework of Chadash. Okay? One is an agricultural entity, Gidule Karka, okay, Gidulim, and the other is Ochel. Okay? Now, I'm just giving you a definition now, I'm working towards Rashi here, so I have some other thoughts about other shittas, but let's just stay here. So, there are two different ideas. There are two different cheftzas. A chefza of gidulei karka, and then a chefza of ochel. Now, what we want to say is that it becomes a chefza shel ochel when it's ne'akar min ha'aretz. That's when it enters into the human realm as ochel. Until then, it's agricultural. It's an agricultural existence. All right? Like, for instance, like if I had to give an analogy, it would be similar to a distinction, let's say, in the world of Tumen Tahara. If something is still connected to the karka, it can't be makabel tuma. It can get as wet as you want. It could rain on it, pour on it. You could pour whatever you want on it. It'll never be makabel tuma. Okay? It could. Why? Because that's gidule karka. The laws of tuma and tahara don't apply to gidule karka. But the minute you uproot it, and now it's now in the realm of the Adam, in his realm as Ochel, in the realm of Ochel, Ochel shel ha'Adam, then now it's subject to all the, now if it, one drop of rain hits it, boom, it's susceptible to Tumah. Okay, or any of the Mashkin, the Zion Mashkin, right? Okay? So, it's similarly here. You have Gidulei Karka is one entity, one that's the agricultural entity, and then you have the entity of Ochel. Okay? All right. Now, so Rashi learns like this. Rashi learns that, oh, wait, one second, I'm sorry. And of course, that's of course the difference, why you have a different measurement, a different barometer for in the ground and out of the ground. Meaning that when is the Omer Matir Tfua? It's Matir Tfua Ta'aretz when it's Hishrisha. Because why? Because Hishrisha is when it becomes defined as an agricultural existence. Once it becomes connected, once it becomes related to the ground, okay, that's Hishrisha, then that's the Omer can be Matir that thing. Okay? Okay, just give me one second. I'm going to come back to that point. Whereas when it's out of the ground, as Rashi points out, when does the Omer Matir what's out of the ground? Not when it's Shachas, but only when it's Hevia Shlish. Why? Because once it's out of the ground, it has to be defined. Now its existence will either be Shachas or Ochel. And the Dinei Chadash and Isurei Chadash and Heter Omer only apply to an entity of Ochel. Okay? Chadash is in the Chadash exists in the world of Macholos Asuros. It has to be Ochel. That's the other time where Chadash operates. I mean that the Omer is Matir, that the Omer being Matir operates. It operates on a Chafts of Ochel. Ah, so that's why it has to be Shlish. All right. I think it's Dvarim Pshutim, but I think it's worth clarifying that point. Why in the ground, all it needs is Hishrisha. It's an idea of Hishrisha, but you wouldn't say Hishrisha. You wouldn't care that it was Hishrisha once you pull it out of the ground. You don't say, oh, well, this thing was something that was Hishrisha in the ground. Why can't the Omer be Matirit? No, it's absurd. Once you take it out of the ground, it's not an agricultural entity anymore. Now you've removed it. Now there's a different criteria. Now it can either be Shachas or it could be Ochel. When does it become Ochel? Oh, the answer is a Shlish. Okay? Now, by the way, now having said that, let me just point out one thing. And that is that the Omer, that the din of the carbon Omer is carbon Omer is Matir, these two distinct entities. Namely, the entity of Gidulei and the entity of Ochel Chadash. All right? And in fact, it's two different psukim. It's not the same pasuk, which makes sense. Because they really are, they are two distinct existences. That the fact that the Omer is Makir Chadash is, of course, which pasuk? One second. Today's parasha. Okay, so we're doing a little parasha Shavuot. Okay. All right. So it says, the pasuk says in Emor, it says, V'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo sochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh. Ad haviyachem es korban elokeichem. Chukas olam udaraseichem v'chol moshvoseichem. That's the pasuk that's matir ochel chadash. Ochel from tfua chadasha. But what about when it's in the ground? What about when it's in the ground? So it's interesting. The Gemara says on Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, the Mishnah, the Gemara actually asks that question. Minayin laomer shematir bahashrasha? But how do you know, that Omer is even matir where it's Hishrish? Where do you get that? And the Gemara finally concludes, Gemara goes through a few possibilities. But finally the Gemara goes, according to Rava, it accepts Rava's opinion, it's a pasuk in Shmos. The pasuk by, what do you call it? In Mishpatim. Let me just get the pasuk. It says, V'chag ha-katsir, bikurei ma'asecho asher tizra basadeh. All right? Asher tizra basadeh. So, and the Gemara says, one second, so the Gemara says, Rav Papa l'Ravi hachi afagav delo hishrish, nami, amalei sudni, okay, or sudni, okay, basadik siv. And sudni is like a nickname, like Rashi says it means, because chachamim know sod Hashem li reyav. They used to call them sudni. Nice little nickname. Okay, so he says, no, basadik siv. It has to be related and nishrash basada. Okay? You'll take a look at that Gemara. I know you guys didn't look at the Gemara, but the important thing is I just want to show you one thing. Namely, that the Gemara correctly asked the question, because it's not, you wouldn't know it logically. The fact that the Omer, the carbon Omer is matir, a pri, it's matir ochel. How would you ever know it's matir? What's Hashrasha got to do with anything? You see? But the answer is, it's a separate pasuk. It's a separate thing. So it's two different halachas. It's two different halachas. That the Omer is matir, the chefta shel gidulei karka tfua, okay, when it's still hishrisha, as long as it's hishrisha. And then secondly, the Omer is matir, the chefta shel ochel chadash, which is the basic pasuk in Emor. Okay? So there's two different entities here, and there are two different psukim that are each matir, each particular entity. Okay?
Where is it ultimately learned from? Asher Tizra?
Yeah. All right, you go through that. All right? All right. Now, okay. Now let's apply these ideas. Let's take a look now, Rav Shimon ben Pazi. So, Rav Shimon ben Pazi's question was like this. What was his question? See, he worked out a very good case. And he'll explain why he gave the case of Hevia Shlish. That's what he said like this to himself. What happens if you have a case where you have a pri? It's a pri. It's Hevia Shlish. And it's nekar min haaretz. So now you have a pri, and the Omer comes along. So, of course, if nothing else happened, it would be a simple case. The Omer would be Matir, the Pri, and now we define it as Yashan. So now this would be Tfuah Yashana. No problem. But, Rav Shimon Paz says, but you see, here is a... Because here's a case where on one hand, it's a Chefta Shel Pri, meaning it has the quality of Pri, but this Pri still admits, can still undergo greater maturation. It could grow further. It could still have quantity applied to it. And even though you have the quality, it's Pri, but you could still have more Pri come from it. It's not at the end of the road of its process. So it already has reached the point where the quality of Pri is there, but now it can still sustain more growth. Okay? So his question was, do you say you go Busser Iker? Meaning, the objective of the Tfuah, the objective of this whole thing, is to produce Ochel. That's the Iker. So you've produced already a Chefza of a Pri. Once you've produced a Chefza of a Pri, no longer in the framework of Chadash, could it ever be returned into the realm of the agricultural? So the Pri is mutter. The fact that it grows more, so what? It's already mutter qua Pri. As a Pri, it's already mutter. And therefore, that's it. Or do I say that insofar as there can be more growth, still admit of quantity, so therefore it can now be redefined once again as an agricultural entity. And as an agricultural entity, it never was ever subject to Heter. So now when you put it back in the ground that it's going to grow more, now the new agricultural quantity that's going to grow is going to be Oser, the entire object of agriculture. And therefore, it won't become Mutter until the next Pesach, next Omer. That was Rav Shimon ben Pazi's kasha. Izzi Boya. That insofar as there's a... That's Rav Shimon ben Pazi's Ibaya. He worked at a case. We have quality, but the quantity is not done yet. That was his case. It comes out according to, of course, the way we're defining it, is that if you really had a fully mature Pri, completely mature, no further growth possible. Okay? Okay?
Well, you couldn't make a case then. You couldn't grow anymore.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. But I'm saying, you're right. No, but yeah, you're right. You mean it's like a crazy case. You can't work it out. You know. You understand what I was trying to get at. I'm trying to say it wouldn't make a difference. It would never work even conceptually. I know it's crazy. It's a crazy case. Forget it. I'm trying to show you, like, this is, he worked out specifically this case, not only because the Metzius is there, but it's showing a certain, it's a logical thing. A certain logical thing. It does work out. Well, we want to do the case, we'll do the case afterwards. Now. So the Svekzveka is like this. You see, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, I mean, his kasha is that Svekzveka, okay, we're just going back for a minute before we take up for the Svekzveka case. Just to further explain the Rashi. The Rashi says, that's why Rav Shimon Pazi had to give the case of Shlish. Because if it would have been a case of less than Shlish, it would be Shachas. Now, Shachas is not, does not come under the Isser of Chadash. It's not Ochel Adam. It's fodder. It's Shachas. But, so that's first of all. So first of all, a guy could eat it if he wanted to. I mean, I don't think human beings normally would, but he could, because who cares? But more importantly, if it was a case of Shachas, Rav Shimon ben Pazi would never have his question. Because it was Shachas, it never underwent the Omer altogether. So then if you replanted it after the Omer and it grew, of course it's Usser. That's it. It's agricultural stuff that's growing. And it never experienced an Omer. Vaday it's Usser. It's not even a Shaila. That wouldn't even be a problem. That would be definitely Usser. And you'd have to wait for the next Omer. You see? And if it was just the case of... that's the main point in that Rashi. Okay? But of course you also understand if it was just Hishrisha, Kodema Omer... Okay? If it was a Shrisha Kodema Omer, according to Rashi, it would seem, and the Omer was Matirit, right? So what would be the case then? One second. It means, right, that's my answer. That, you know, one second. He's right. If you took it out before the Omer, then it's Shachas, that's the case. If you left it in the ground for the Omer, so then it's Mutter. Right, correct, Yaakov, that's right. Exactly. So that's why it can't be any of those cases. Either of those cases would be simply answered. One would be definitely Usser. Namely, if you took it out before and it's Shachas, then you replant it after the Omer. And the other case is where you plant, it's planted before the Omer. It was Hishrisha. The Omer's Matirit. And then the fact that it grows afterwards, who cares? It was Mutter already as the agricultural entity. And of course it's Mutter. And that's the Pasuk from Mishpatim. Exactly. Very good. That's why it can't be any of those cases. It has to be Bedafka, this strange case where it's already a pre that still admits of quantitative growth if you replant it. Very good. That's why according to Rashi, that's exactly Rav Shimon ben Pazi. That's what he, you know, zeroed in on, that case. Very good. Okay. All right, now that brings us back to the Svekseka. Right. So, according to the Mutzel Ma'esh, the Mutzel Ma'esh is bothered because in his framework, looking at it as a Svekseka, is that each Suffek has each one is practical and pragmatic. There's a real nafkamina within each one. And what's happening is you have a question of usur or mutter in each one. You have a nafkamina, halachic nafkamina, and then it's a case where the two of them, you know, relate in a certain way, so the suffix becomes, in the final analysis, as a practical suffix, it becomes, has a certain remoteness to it. And therefore, it's mutter. In other words, the halacha doesn't recognize that level of suffix. That's how the Mutzel Ma'esh views it. Okay? But you see, what is the sheet of the Rush and the Ramah? They argue like this, wrong. It's not, if your argument is about Shem Echad, it's not. Why? Because the question is like this, according to them. According to them, the suffix is suffix if it was Mishana She'avra. Meaning, if it's Mishana She'avra, then the Omer was Matirit already as a pre. The Omer was Matirit as a pre. And if you'll tell me it's from this year's harvest, so then maybe it was Hishrisha Kodem the Omer, and the Omer was Matirit as a Tzvor Ta'aret. It's two different Shemos. So insofar as this chefta is concerned, In other words, the chefta that's in front of us, the chefta shel tfua, the stam tfua that's in front of us, this chefta has two sveikos, two separate shemos shel safek that relate to it. And that's a svek svek also. That's what they hold.
When was it a free?
If you say the code them the Omer before, Mishana Shavra.
I see how it's any different. It was on the ground.
Is it this way, right? Yeah. You're stomped for, right? Now maybe it's Mishana Shavra, right?
Yeah.
So look, yeah. So it's like this. You're right. Thank you, Yaakov. Okay, it's better. You forget about the. You don't even have to be so mockbit on his lashon, because he can take care of it practically. Why? Let's assume it's from last year's harvest. Okay. Now there's two possibilities. Either it was harvested, it was Nekra, before the Omer, last year's Omer, which in case it's a Pri. Right. And even if it was harvested after last year's Pesach, so now it's a Pri by virtue that it's after this Omer. So it's Mutter as a Pri. For sure it's Mutter as a Pri.
Right.
Maybe, but maybe you'll say no. Maybe this thing was really Nekra when? Now. Maybe it was Nekra a week ago. Right? Oh! But then it was Hishrisha before this Omer. So now it's Mutter, it's Tfuas Aretz. So it's two separate Shemos of Safek. That's what the Rama is saying. One Safek is, was it Mutter as a Shem Ochel, a Shem Pri? Under that, Lechem v'Kali v'Charmel, or who was it? Did it undergo an Omer as Gidulei Karka? It's two separate Shemos of Safek that devolve on one Chefta, a Chefta that has two Shemos Safek. That's a Sveksveka. And so far as whether or not this Chefta is Usser or Mutter, there are two Shemos of Safek devolving upon it. That's also a sex figure. That's what the Ramah, that's what the Ramah and the Rush hold. A suffix on a suffix. There's no practical, there's the practical nafgamina of any suffix is not being reduced. But insofar as the Cheft is concerned, there are multiple svekas relating to it. That's a sex figure. Now, we're not in the area of Svekseka, as they say, Ad Kan. But I think it makes sense. I don't know. Either his problem is that he didn't recognize, which I don't know how, but he didn't pick up on the fact that you have two separate Shemos here. A Shem Tvua and a Shem Pri. He just looked at it as, Chadash Yashan. That's one possibility. I would rather not say that possibility, honestly. But the other Safek would be, the other possibility in the Mutzameish is that, of course, he knew that, but he had a different understanding of what's a legitimate Sveksveka. The Amasvekzek has to be that the first, whichever the first suffix is, I don't care, but one suffix is reducing the other suffix. It's making it even more remote. And it's like a practical, it's halachic, in halachic practical terms, it's becoming more remote. That's a Sveksveka. Which is, by the way, how you normally think of a Sveksveka. The other way is more abstract. Sveksveka. It's not a Sveksveka in a pragmatic sense. It's a Safek insofar as the status of the Chefta is concerned. It's a different kind of a Sveksveka. That's what I'm saying. One thing I'm interested in is the Iboya on Samach Tes Amar Aleph, which is the Mechaber in Dalit.
today.
I'd like to define that Ibaya in light of what we've said. According to Rashi, of course, according to Rashi. And then, if you want to have a little more fun, forget Rashi completely and read the Rambams, which is really the way the Mechaber goes in Hay. But I would do it in the Rambams themselves, because I think there's something, I think there's something there in the, that the Mechaber, by dividing up the way he did, I think you missed something. I suspect. Now, look at how the Rambam, I think it may, I don't remember what Halacha is, it's in Perek Yud in Machalos Asuros. I don't know, maybe, yeah, that's the one. Fine, it's interesting, because the Rambam, you know, they're tekus here. So the Rambam gives you both sides. He gives you the Abaya. He tells you the Svaras, you know what I mean? The Svaras of each side. But you have to define the Rambam, you'll see the Rambam's going to be different, because the Rambam learns Reb Shimon ben Pazi different than the Rashi. And you have to ask yourself, why? You know, what's the nafkamia? What's the difference between Rambam and Rashi? There's got to be a reason why each one explains it differently. So, I mean, if you know, so let's take a look at it. No guarantees here. I've been struggling with it, I'll be honest with you. Maybe it's real simple, and I'm just complicating it for no reason, but I don't know. Each time I think of something, I said 10 minutes later when I think about it, it sounds crazy to me. It's one of those, you know? I say, Joey, you want